Welcome to the Hour of Truth, a topical radio Bible show broadcast by the Fishman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishmanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Another Hour of Truth, first of 2016, and let's go to it. What do you think's going on?
I'll speak, Paul.
Go for it, James.
Listening to Rick this morning, I don't know if y'all were able to.
I didn't.
But he was talking about the struggles in really believing, and the struggles in unbelief in the sense of. The what if this, what if that.
The great what if.
And what it really showed me was, in my own life, is gosh, can I get tied up in the what if. And, you know, the what if most of the time's looking beyond today. And it says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Why don't I turn around, as Davey says, and make that what if. Faith instead of unbelief. What if I just choose to trust God in His ability, knowing that He is well able and has proven Himself time and time again to accomplish it and be faithful?
Did Davey preach during the service?
Davey didn't.
Oh, cool.
It was Rick and Sue. But instead of the what-if of unbelief, let's have a what-if of faith. What if I just choose to serve God and trust Him?
If you did choose to trust God and trust Him...
That's the simplicity in the gospel right there.
He's not.
You would be just, right? If you just did, then you would be just.
He still would have us.
Okay, well, let's talk about...
I can see where I fail in this so much, so it was a great light bulb to me this morning. What if I just trust Him for today and what needs to be accomplished?
Fail on the interstate. You know, like that song, when will the world see that we need Jesus? When will we understand He loves us? Look at Philip was telling me about his water pump. He went down to see y'all in Elberton, and y'all pressure tested the water or the cooling system, and the water pump just dropped dead, but not on the interstate. It dropped dead in your shop, right?
Correct.
Well, I took my wife's van in for a timing belt change, which it needed, a couple of other things, and the guy says, well, I'm that deep. It's only about $50. You ought to put a water pump in it. And when I went to pick up the van, he goes, oh, you got to see this. He showed me the water pump, and the weep hole had been blowing fluid long enough to really discolor it, and it had, like, funk build up on it. That thing didn't drop dead on the side of the eye either. It's all that little stuff, you know. I could get all tied up just like you, man. But if you choose to see it, He's got His hand on all this. I mean, that's a little stuff we see. Who knows? You make a good point.
It's so simple. Let's just, what if I trust Him for today? What if I put my faith in Him?
If it's
get rid of that unbelief. It's we complicate it so much. I mean, I can get mad at myself right now. Like, what if I just trust him? He's proven himself to be faithful.
There's so many examples of that kind of thing, too. I was, we were asked, if you prefer, to get some electrical stuff done, and was it electrical for the campers and a steeple in the chapel and some rock beds or something around the chapel. We're just dolling the place up. And
no, not a steeple. Bell tower.
Bell tower. So we're looking at it going, how are we going to do this? Because there ain't a lot of money here, you know. And, shoot, everything's gone. The only limitation on progress has really been time because we all work day jobs. I mean, all that little stuff, it's all right there if you choose to look at it.
At the same time, I mean, we still got what we did and plan on doing in a month, we got done in a month. And we still had some time to hang out.
They had a pretty good time doing it, really. I did. And, man, this place looks like Mueller Stadium. You ought to see all the lights, man. You could definitely play soccer or football in front of Paul's place. Huh? It's awesome. It really is.
See how what a caring person I am? Because I can't play soccer and all, football and all that. So I did this for somebody else, really.
You can pick an LED light that's just flipping awesome, man.
Yeah, I'm not going there.
Now there are five or six of them. That's true. Then Paul had the gall to run out of money buying lights in the middle of it, but hey, it's all working out.
Yeah. But that is a good point you made, James. Very good one. Changing that what if I just trusted God today? And it's really, you know, it comes from a point of relief, too. I mean, it really does.
Well, what were you talking about this morning? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. All that burden and the what if and unbelief is gone if we will just, what if I trust him? What if I turn that to faith? It's gone.
Absolutely.
I like in that part, that verse, that Matthew 11, is that where we were?
Yeah. Matthew 11.
Come to me, you are weak and heavy laden, or you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. But he says of himself, he says, I'm meek and lowly in heart. Now, I love that because, you know, I could see an infinite God that's unapproachable and spent so much of my life seeing an old man with a lightning bolt, you know, out to get me. But he says of himself, I'm meek and lowly in heart. And I absolutely find that to be the case. I show up with nothing to offer him but really sin and despair over and over and over. You know, and he just shows right up. He might offer me a course correction or something.
That's because he loves you.
Yeah.
And the character and nature of God is a lot of times... We have a perspective on that is not right, and it's not him, it's not of him, of many things, as you were talking about the, you know, you got that mean guy with the lightning bolt. Anytime you're ready, to, you know, you do wrong, you know, he's there to strike you down, and that's not...
And it would be just.
That's not him at all, and what we do is what is in our own heart. A lot of times we put on God, and that's not God at all, you know. And you know, the scripture really highlights it. Like, I like that scripture, in him is light and there's no darkness at all. I mean, he has no ill will towards you. I mean, that's not his MO. It's not his MO.
It's us. Because what you're saying is we project our own rottenness onto a perfect, meek, lowly, humble creator.
And I mean, he's an awesome God, and no matter what, you know, you're talking about the what if we trust him, and you know, just trusting him. I mean, even you trust him, and you're talking about that course correction there a little bit, Brad,
right.
and he's faithful and just in that. I mean, it's not nothing he does there is for your harm. Not a thing is towards your harm.
I was shaking my head in agreement.
You know, it's not. That's not. That's not our. That's not the character of Jesus. It's not. It really is. You know, when you shake, we need to shake that. We need to shake that. And we can trust him. He's trustworthy. The only one that's really trustworthy is him.
Yeah, and I think we miss that. I'll speak for myself. I miss that. Was it Zephaniah, one of your more popular books? It says, he will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. And it's not just that he's good. He actually joys over his people to the point where it makes him want to sing. You look at the chat. I'm going to read it. Just recently, the truck fell just wrong to me before a planned long trip. Scott canceled on my word when he and Jess took off. The wheel was loose and should have been rock steady. A bearing was worn out. The Lord saved me having the wheel fall off the road somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I like that even better than the water pump. As a man who has taken off with loose lug nuts before, myself.
Took my wheels off to do my brakes back in like 1978, and that's the only time I ever had my rear tire pass me going down the bridge.
I don't think they can hear you. Or do you have your?
Well, I'm right here. I had to get closer to the screen so I could read the chat room. You know,
comes with age.
Yeah, he's all right. It wasn't worth hearing. Trust me.
He was leaning forward to bifocal on the chat and forgot where he was sitting. That's all that was. Yeah, that thing about the great what if, that has absolutely plagued me through time. And that is why you want to save money. And she says it's not just the lugs, the whole wheel was about to fall off. Yeah, I get it. I get that.
Yeah, that's how I knew that my lugs were not tight enough.
Yeah. I didn't know you ever did a brake job.
And that one ended up costing me enough to have had 5 brake jobs. Being the mathematician I am, and 2 days vacation time.
Yeah. You decided not to do your own brake job anymore?
I decided to pay somebody who knew what they were doing. I had the old $23.50 Chilton manual out there, and you know, I'm sitting there adjusting the spring thing on the
drum.
Right. And the fronts were discs. And they were quite comparatively easy. But there's just a lot of stuff to remember.
Well, that's why the iPhone has a 10 pixel camera on it. Photograph the thing before you start. That's what I do. I got into that thing with that fellow that I turned over to at work, and going back to where you started, James, you know, what if we just trusted the Lord? So I looked at it and went, okay, this might seem a small thing. I got a guy, I mean, to me, he's just picking on me. I do think that's an accurate view. All right, it's a small thing. I get that. But what if I just took for granted that what I knew might be wrong? What if instead of going off on the guy, I just backed off for a couple of days? There's no rush, right? No law against love. No harm in being kind. So dive into the Word. Talk to some people. Figure out a better way. And sure enough, what I was fixing to do would have been grossly off. But what ended up happening, and I'm not saying this thing is resolved, because people are as they are. But at least on my end, I didn't haul off and do something just blatantly stupid so that in a few months when the door opens up, I wouldn't be able to talk to the guy about the Lord.
No, it's those situations where we need to love that person the same way the Lord loves us.
In spite of ourselves?
You know, I mean, what does it say? Love them that hate you, bless them that curse you. love your enemies. I may have that a little off. But obviously the guy isn't your friend. That doesn't sway you from standing in the gospel and the love in Jesus Christ.
And I would throw in with that, you know, people aren't cast in black and white. We're more like shades of gray in my experience. And sometimes this guy, in the midst of berating me or, you know, giving me a rough way to go, he's got some very good points. I mean, he's got many, many years of experience in the job past what I have. And what I try to do is listen and, like I say, eat the meat and spit out the bones. I try to listen because he makes good points. And he has, I mean, whatever his intent may be, he has some, he's smart. He has some very valid observations about things I could be doing different or better. And I try to really listen to that. It's just, and I know it's pride. That's like Philip was talking about this morning. What if you came out, you know, it became very obvious to the people around you, maybe you don't know what you're doing, and yet the Lord's magnified it. Well, I got a problem with that. I mean, in all honesty within myself, I got trouble with that because I don't want to look like a total dork, but sometimes, well, truth gets out.
Yeah, you know, truth be told, everybody's born with what have the operating instructions stenciled on their brain, right?
What?
Obviously, you didn't get the right stamp. Just saying.
Yeah, I can accept that. I mean, in present company, I can accept that. But like in a job situation where you don't want to be taken lightly or whatever, yeah, it's tough. But then I've listened to Philip over the last several years. Hadn't really seemed to hurt you any, bro. You just kind of accept it and roll on.
That's what you see, and praise God. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know, really. And what I mean by that is, like, I mean, look, if the Lord gets magnified in my life and somebody can learn from it, then praise God. I'm probably 90% clueless of it. But.
Well, that's pretty solid ground to stand on. Just don't sweat it. And you brought that up too. You were saying, just quit taking yourself so dad burn serious. Just let it roll.
Man, when it's Lord gets magnified, praise God. That's a cool thing. In the meantime, I know I'm me. It's just, I know I'm a flailing idiot. You know, and that's
that was
all right.
Something else you brought out. It really struck me. You've got a man, woman that's redeemed. They've come to Christ. The Lord loves them. They're really walking in righteousness. They're really walking in that faith. But I love that verse. It says, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. And so you are you. I am me. I mean, I may be walking really in holiness, uprightness, faith, all that stuff. But it's still me. You know, I mean, it's nothing special. But if you let
it, I mean, yeah, it's all has to do with Jesus. I mean, it really has to do with. I mean, it's nothing that, you know, I would call myself holy or righteous by any means, not that at all. It just has to do with Jesus being holy and righteous. What it comes down to, I mean, he is faithful, and that's what it comes down to. And he is strong, and he's been my provider, and it comes down to him and what he has done. I mean, I have wrecked things in the sense of just absolutely tanked on a number of things, and through all that, what gets magnified is Jesus. And if, you know, he gets magnified, then praise God. I mean, that's all that's important, because you know, it's not by our strength or our anything that we have. I mean, it says in Scripture, without me you can do nothing. And that's just the truth. That's just the truth. I mean, that's, you know, me without the Lord is very evident. Me without the Lord is a mess, broken down drug addict who can't do anything.
and causes nothing but pain and misery in my life and others. And that's me. With Jesus, it's a different story. And the only thing that differs between me back then and me now is Jesus. And that's it. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. It's just Jesus. It really is. And that's nothing that I can boast on. That's nothing that I can... No, it's all Him. I mean, it really is all Him. You know, I was looking at... I was talking with Steve at one time, and I was out in Vermont, and I think I was talking about my family and the dysfunction of it. And I said, I said, you know, if I was in so-and-so's shoes, would I have done anything different? Probably not. Probably worse. If I was in so-and-so's shoes, would I have done anything different? Probably not. Probably worse. If I was in so-and-so's shoes, would I do anything different? Probably not. Probably worse. I mean, the only reason why it's going any different for me than it did for my family in these situations is Jesus. And that's really it. And there's nothing else to bring. I have nothing to offer. I really don't have anything to offer except Jesus. I mean, that's it. I mean, I don't bring anything to the table. The only thing that I can bring is something that was given to me from the Father. And His name is Jesus. And that's really it. That's what it comes down to. There's nothing else. Nothing else. There's not a damn thing special about me. Not a damn thing.
The only thing that you don't have... The only thing you miss there is the idea that in order to please God, which you don't really get a concept of until you actually spend some time, you know, watching the way parents and children interact. And that's a little bit of what was going on there. Given the same circumstances, how would somebody else act? That's true. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. And you must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of him that diligently seek Him. And it's the same verse I mentioned this morning. It's seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all this other stuff, all the stuff you need to exist, it'll be taken care of. Don't worry about it. Love God, love one another. Trust the Lord.
I like don't worry about it.
Cast your cares upon Him. That's what that means. Don't worry about it.
You know, you're talking about we bring nothing to the table. True. And yet the Lord has chosen to use us. And it is true. Without Him, we can do nothing. But by His choice. You talked about Caleb, Joshua going into the promised land. These guys, I think Caleb was 80 years old. You know? And he said, I'm well at 80 years old. And it's true. He entered by faith. It's also true that even at 80, the Lord chose to use Caleb's ability to swing that sword. He had to give him the ability, but Caleb saw to make the choice. And it's, I think,
he chose to agree with God is what he did. He chose to agree with him. I mean, that's about all we got. All right, I mean, we got free will, and we could just use it to choose to agree with him. But I mean, there's nothing. Nothing in the midst, and
that's what I'm saying. He chooses to agree, and he uses you.
Right? Yeah. It's part of that entering into His rest that I was kind of talking about. You that are heavy laden, and take my yoke upon you. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. My burden is light, and it's just something we can rest in His victory. We can rest in His victory. We can rest in the day that He's given us. We can just rest in Him, and that's a relief. You know, you're saying don't worry about it. I mean, it's just a relief. And And the other thing, you know, is kind of like, and that's fine. I am who I am, and that's praise God.
It's okay.
I mean, praise God, He's good. I mean, that's what all I have. That's all I need. That's all I need is Jesus. I don't need anything else.
But it still doesn't feel like that when the alarm goes off at 4:30 sometimes. I hear you.
I went up there today. I didn't really want to go up there, to be honest with you. I didn't feel like going up there. If I had my druthers, I would have done something else today.
And I was having this.
But I went up there, and it was like a relief. I was like, oh, praise God. It's like the burden rolled away. I got myself in a...
I've been trying to do what you told me, which is not, like, kind of go off a script, however you phrase it. Don't be a Baptist preacher. It's uncomfortable. And then on top of that, I don't want to keep doing all the same songs, so I'm consciously trying to choose stuff, that Melody and Scott really brought, into our fellowship. And, oh my gosh, like, chord structures and stuff are odd to me. It's not all in the key of D or G. And it's kind of a little tougher for me mechanically on the keyboard. And then I'm looking at the folks out there, and they're also struggling a little bit because I know we've all heard this stuff. Sometimes it's just, that's what I was asked to do.
The other thing that would help in that, just this kind of a side note, just if have Lisa or you just yell at the page number to the song, because some of them we don't know.
Yeah, announce the page number.
Yeah, and that way we can get on board.
That's good. That's good.
But that's kind of a side note, a little bit. But I guess just bringing back the point of, I know you're kind of talking about, and that's hard for me because you might look like this or might look like that. Man, it doesn't matter, bro. I mean, because the Lord gets magnified, and you might look like an absolute idiot in the midst of it, and the Lord gets magnified. It's all good, man.
It's all good.
That's where you're just, I mean, all you can sit back and say, praise God. The other thing, I mean, the reason why it would be hard for you in that sense, or for any of us, I don't speak to you personally.
That's
in this
fine.
But hard for in the midst of any of us in the midst of this thing is because we're making it about us and how we look, and that's all has to do with pride. It has nothing, and which is, it really is. The Lord's not there to get you to be a pride. He came to save your soul, not your flesh, and to make you look good. That's not what it's about. It's about Him, and that's what it's about. And what good would that do to you if He comforted the pride and made you look out as something that you were not? I mean, it'd be profitable to know. It wouldn't be profitable at all in the midst of that thing for you.
And we went to the Christmas Eve. We used to go to
for me or for whoever I should say. But go ahead. I apologize.
No, excuse me. I mean, step on it. We used to go to Cathedral of Praise, which for those who don't know the area is, I guess we would say, a mega church. 3,000 attendance on a Sunday, and it is polished. It is slick. If you showed up and you said, "Well, I believe the Lord's called me into the music ministry," well, I don't know. Let's evaluate that. Because, I mean, the guys up there are, like, pro quality. It's really, really good. It's like off-Broadway or something. It's really, really good. And I look at that, and I'm sitting in there, and very, very nicely done. Always is. And the Spirit of the Lord was there. They did this kind of a knockoff of the Christmas Carol, the Charles Dickens, it's called Scrooge. And it was very nicely done, and the Spirit was there. Chose to hear it, you could hear it. But man, I'm looking at these guys. Oh my goodness, these guys are awesome, like musical, awesome. The vocal quality, everything, like perfect. And I'm kind of looking at me up there and my beloved spouse. But then I'm thinking, like, if you go into a church, I mean, if I wanted awesome music, I could get that on a bar. You can get that in a lot of places. But if the Spirit's there, that's really what you're looking for. And so what you're telling me is Not to say don't practice. I mean, you want to do well, of course. But that ain't it. And I know, like, when Davey and Robin were down a couple of times back, they were talking about making sure, like, the sequencing of songs and a little bit of flexibility to be able to change. You want the music to sync with what the Spirit's doing. And I'm not terribly fluent on song, which is why I have my book out, the whole hard copy. But I'm looking at the sequencing of songs. We just go in and I pray for that. I'm setting the list up. Mm-hmm. And it was seemed to me like it was flowing pretty good. So I just look at it and think, well, mm-hmm. the Lord's there. And you got Granite, small, mm-hmm. small congregation. Paul the Apostle mm-hmm. had a small following. Mm-hmm. It's all right. You know, it doesn't have to be dead on perfect. You box my ears if I got something wrong. Yeah, I'm cool with it. James, what you doing out there, bro?
Listening to everything we've talked about, it's important to remember that this is all accomplished by Jesus' faith, not ours. I know that's a point David made maybe a couple months ago, but it's not our faith that saves us. It's not our faith that accomplishes things. It's Jesus' faith, because he's already accomplished it by his faith.
Absolutely. That's why, you know, that's the thing that, that's what it's...
Praise God, it's not... dependent on ours, because oh my gosh, it would never work. It didn't work. That's why he had to come. Absolutely. We weren't able.
Absolutely. And that's just another thing to rest in, James. It really is.
How freeing is that?
I know. Absolutely.
We don't have to try and get it perfect. Our faith, it's impossible. His is. Praise God, he gave us a way to be in that faith. Let's join him.
Amen. And that's where it's the scripture kind of comes to mind, and it says, where do we have to boast? In nothing. And that's okay. I don't care.
Absolutely. What y'all were talking about.
Praise God, we got
about.
The gift. I need the gift, because without the gift, I'm done.
I'm
done.
Think about when y'all were talking is... And then you guys weren't, but let's not make it about ourselves. When the Lord shows up and proves himself, it's not for us to be magnified, as you had said, Phil, or glorified. It's about him. Whose faith accomplished it? Whose ability accomplished it?
Absolutely.
Jesus's. It wasn't ours. All we did was trust in him, in his ability. So where do we have to boast in it? And I'm not saying that that's where y'all were going, but that's where our flesh as humans find ourselves. It's easy to go to the pride and then the self-righteousness. That's not what we want. We didn't accomplish anything. He did.
Amen.
Yeah, well, this thing started. You know, the angels showed up. It's Christmas season. Fear not. First thing they said was, don't be afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which are to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And that, we couldn't do it. He'd given us the law, been long suffering. We couldn't do it. So he made, well, you knew that from the jump, right? He'd already made a perfect, better way. And it's for us, not... Mm-hmm. You're not somebody other than just us. Are you back?
Yeah, right. I'm rethinking my position.
Rethink what?
On it's clear that you were not endowed in at your creation with total clarity and understanding of everything universally, but you know, the Lord's gracious and merciful, and he he takes the base to confound the wise. So it puts everybody in this room in the same place.
Not among the wise. Right? Foolish guys confound the wise.
And we don't even operate in the near the same zone of height either. So there you are. But
actually, in Corinthians, it said of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we might be a sort of a kind of first fruit of this creation. So we are, you do arrive from the jump with a given ability to understand truth spiritually, to the point where when somebody tells it to you, it should ring true. I think that's why when you bring things to people, they become so frustrated or annoyed so rapidly sometimes. You know what I mean? Like you're talking to somebody and you bring an idea to them that is not what they had thought, and that the response you get is not to, it's not like, well, I just disagree. I mean, it's visceral. We're talking about the character of God. You know, come to me, I'm meek and lowly in heart. You know, you can come to me. And the reason you can do this is because I, your creator, I am meek, I am lowly in heart, I am approachable, right? And I'm thinking in the, gosh, in this part of the Bible Belt, the whole once saved, always saved thing is such a big deal. Well, why would you latch on to that so much? It's a failure to grasp the goodness of the Lord. The fact that he is meek, he is lowly in heart, he does understand what you are and what you aren't, and he is right ready to accept us, you know, on that ground, give us the faith, make us righteous, and accept us like that. But if you go to these the people that really hold that once grace, always saved line of reasoning, and you defy that, oh my gosh. I mean, for people that believe that you could, once you kneel at an altar, you could do or say or be anything after that, and you're fine. But if you cross that line, That's it. You're probably not right with God. And that all comes from not really understanding the goodness and the nature of God. Now, I realize I could come to the final day. I could stand before that judgment seat and he could say, depart. And really, what could I say? Because I know within myself that would be a just and correct thing to hear. So what do I have? I got a God who loved me, who died for me. He said he'd take care of me, and that's where I rested. His care. He said it. God in whom is no variables, no shadow of turning. He's the same all the time. He's good to me today. Why would he be different to me at that day?
Why would he
why would he choose to be good to me? Oh, I live 300 feet from you. I can't imagine why you would even ask the question. You're thinking like 450 would be a better distance, probably, right? Yeah, he's good. I mean, that's what we've been talking about. That's what we always talk about. Every Sunday, 12 to 1, it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. It should be the same thing. God is good. He's gentle, he's kind, he's good. All this other stuff, there's all kind of other doctrines and things that enter into it. And they're right. But when you start peeling it all away, you know, Jesus loves me, this I know.
Sounds like a lot like the Boy Scout creed.
Help little old ladies cross the street.
Trustworthy, courteous, kind. obedient.
Semper Fi, ever faithful. That's Marines.
Yeah, well, that would be Jesus' part in his thing. Always faithful.
Well, you hear that kind of stuff. I mean, why do certain things ring true? Because you're made with the word of truth. Right? We understand innately, should, when something's true. Although we're easily deceived, I mean, I get that with it. But if something like always be faithful rings true, like anything, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Anything that's true glorifies God, right? Whether it's always be courteous and faithful, or, you know, 2 + 2 = 4, it doesn't matter. Anything that's true honors the Lord. That's the way I read it.
Yeah, as the TYIer on the divorce thing, and it turns out when we actually had to make our courtroom appearance, all the challenges I was getting to whether my testimony was true or valid or not was coming from the judge.
Who sits in a seat of impartiality, you thought?
I'm sitting there. She finally says, I'm not of mind, unless you can convince me in the next minute. She says, I'm not of a mind to give you a divorce in this matter. And I said, all right, Lord. Just me and you here now. Come on.
Why would I lie?
There's the only contention in here is coming from you, ma'am. Leslie hasn't challenged any bit of my testimony, and if there was somebody with an interest in doing that, it might be her. The contentions coming here is from you. Why would I come into the court and lie about whether or not we live together? That can be verified or falsified by any number of witnesses.
That's easy.
I said, do you see any of those witnesses here?
Nope.
In view of the lack of evidence against me and the challenge to the testimony I've given you, I think it's reasonable to expect that you'd grant the divorce. I said there's no children at issue here. There's no, what do you call it?
No money on the table.
Right.
Alimony.
Alimony, that's right. Nobody's asking or petitioning the court to grant alimony or child support or anything like that. This is as simple as cut and as dried as there is, and there is no motivation to be deceitful. You do what you
get on board.
Do what you now. She said, "Granted." I didn't even finish my defense.
Oh man!
Because that's what at that point. That's what my job was. I was in there defending myself. Now, nobody should go into that courtroom setting and expect that justice is blind. That's not the way that one works.
Yeah, I've been spending a lot of time in Ecclesiastes plus. Solomon said, when you see, I can't quote it, gross perversion of justice and oppression in a province, don't think it's odd. I mean, that seems to just be the normal course of things. And something like injustice makes a just man mad. Not mad like angry, but beside himself insane. I get it.
So are we tapped out for subject matter? Or are we done?
Like it does.
Well, I don't have anything.
Well, I thought this morning was really pretty good. Really?
Well,
I got a lot out of it.
I had no idea. To be honest with you.
All right, people. It's been fun, and it's sometimes been coherent.
Those moments?
Yes. We thank you for joining us, and invite you to come back and do it same time next week, Lord willing. Until that time,
may the Lord bless.
May the Lord bless you.
May the Lord bless everybody.
May the Lord bless you.
Have a great week.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.